السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: تلك الأيام نداولها بين الناس. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have completed yet another month of Ramadan. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant each one of us the blessings that descended in this blessed month. Alhamdulillah, we have entered the month of Shawwal. So today we will make mention of certain major events that took place in the month of Shawwal. This is a similar program to the first Jumu'ah of Ramadan. We spoke about the major events that took place in the month of Ramadan. So today we will discuss a few major events that took place in the month of Shawwal. Shawwal is the first month of the months of Hajj. The ulama have made mention that there are three months of Hajj, the first being Shawwal, second Zulqa'dah, and third Zulhijjah. And it is the 10th month in the lunar calendar. If we study history, our beautiful, rich history, we will come to know that many events took place in this beautiful month. The first that I would like to highlight is the nikah of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Ummahatul Mu'mineen Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So the nikah of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Hazrat Aisha took place in the month of Shawwal. And according to most of historians, this took place 10 years into Nabuwah and 3 years before Hijrah. So before the Nabi of Allah migrated to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi Akrim Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. One of the accolades, distinctions of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha that she makes mention of herself is that my nikah is very, very unique. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended with a silk cloth, and on this silk cloth there was the picture of Hazrat Aisha. So it was a divine selection. And Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he made mention that Allah has ordered you to marry this girl. So this was a divine selection. And if we study the life of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa from start to end, while she was with the Prophet of Allah and after the departure of the Prophet of Allah, we come to know that her work for Islam was profound. She is a raviya of, or ravi of 2,210 ahadith. So she reported 2,210 ahadith. She is considered to be one of the most prolific scholars of Islam. And there are a few verses in the Quran, and I would like to highlight one today that came down with the injunction. And this injunction that relieves us at many junctions in life came down because of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. And I'm talking about tayammum. Talking about tayammum. Tayammum is a ritual through which a person can purify himself. And this tayammum was given to us through the episode that was created by Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. If we study the glorious Quran, we come to know that there's an ayat in Surah Nisa Surah An-Nisa is the fourth surah of the glorious Quran, and verse 43, in which Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ, till the end. It is a lengthy ayat. A section of this ayat is فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا, make tayammum with pure clay, with pure dirt. Mufassirun have made mention that once the Nabi of Allah Rabbul Izzat, he was traveling with the Sahaba, and Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she had a necklace, and the necklace broke and the beads fell to the ground. So Hazrat Aisha had a very bad experience in the past in regards to necklaces. So she immediately informed the Nabi of Allah that, I've lost my necklace. Can you stop the expedition and let's find the necklace? So Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that the group of Sahaba stop, station at this place, and let's find the necklace of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now where they stationed, there was no water. There was no water. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, he came into the tent of the Nabi of Allah, and he found that Nabi Akrim was resting his blessed head on the blessed lap of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And he started to rebuke his daughter. He told his daughter off that, because of you we're going to miss salah, we got no water around here. So because of your har, your necklace, we are all in trouble. We're going to miss out. So when the Nabi of Allah woke up from his blessed sleep, he received the ayat of Surah Nisa, verse 43, in which Allah Rabbul Izzat said that from today onwards, if you find yourself at a place where there is no water, you make tayammum. So this tayammum, that is a blessing for us, that is a ritual of purifying ourselves, has only been granted to the ummah of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is because of the necklace of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. They say Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa was very, very intelligent. She was very, very intelligent, very, very witty. Once the Nabi of Allah, the hadith is in Abu Dawood, reported by Hazrat Aisha herself, that once I was playing with my dolls, and the Nabi of Allah came into the room and said that, what are these dolls? She said, these are my daughters. Hazrat Aisha said, these are my daughters. Then the Nabi of Allah found that there was a horse that had wings. So the Nabi of Allah said to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, that does a horse have wings? Does a horse have wings? And immediately, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says, that yes, you told us that Hazrat Sulaiman had a horse that had wings. فَضَحِكَ حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ نَوَاجِزَهُ. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that the Prophet of Allah smiled, and through this extended smile, I could see the beautiful glowing teeth of Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was a tabiba as well. She was a doctor. Qazi Shurai says that, where did you learn tib from? Qazi Shurai, one of the great judges, student of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, he says, where did you learn tib from? Where did you learn the sciences of medicine? Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa had a very sharp memory. She says that when the Nabi of Allah fell sick, many, many hukama used to come and give prescriptions to the Nabi of Allah. I used to take them and learn them all. And through that time, I became a tabiba. I learned so much when the doctors used to come and give advice to the Nabi of Allah to address his condition or his sickness. So she was a tabiba as well. One more accolade of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And from this we can understand that the special connection that the Nabi of Allah had with Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa. When the verses of Surah Ahzab, Surah 33, verse 28-29 were received by the Prophet of Allah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ كُلِّ أَزْوَاجِكَ إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ. That Allah Almighty says to the Nabi of Allah, that you address your wives, your multiple spouses, you address them, and ask them that if they want to give preference to the worldly pleasures, do they select the worldly pleasures? If they do, then O Prophet of Allah, you separate yourself from them on good terms. وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ. But if they choose Allah and the Rasul and the life to come, Darul Akhirah, then there's a great reward waiting for them. When the Prophet of Allah received this verse, these two verses, the first wife that he went to was Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, to find out what is her inner feeling. Does she select the Prophet of Allah, or does she select the pleasure of this dunya? But the way the Prophet of Allah presented, this is what I want to convey. When the Nabi of Allah put the proposal to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, he said, don't be haste. First consult with your father. First consult with your parent. He said, don't be haste. I have given you this proposal. First go and consult with your parents. And then come back. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa said, I do not have to consult with my parents. I give preference to Allah and the Rasul and Darul Akhirah. Then on this choice of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the other wives, the other spouses, Ummahatul Mu'mineen, they came and they made the same decision that Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha made. So there are so many distinctions of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. When we read the seerah of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, they say that she used to say herself that many a times Jibreel used to descend and he used to give salam to me through the Prophet of Allah. Many a times, Jibreel used to descend and give salam to me through the Prophet of Allah. Or kabhi kabhi, main aur Nabi ek lahaf mein hote the, aur Hazrat Jibreel aate the, aur wahi bhi utarte the. Allah. We used to be in one covering, as husband and wife, and in that state, the Nabi of Allah used to receive revelation. I have read in many, many books, that this is a distinction of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa, in the whole of the human race. So Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala an came into the wedlock of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam 3 years before Hijrah in this blessed month of Shawwal. In the month of Rajab, as we all know that the Prophet of Allah ascended into the heavens, and the ascension, this Mi'raj, was in reality to comfort the Prophet of Allah for the two great losses that he experienced. One was the demise of Abu Talib, and one was the demise of Hazrat Khatijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala. Now, when Abu Talib passed away, the animosity, the brutality, the vengeance, the hatred of the people of Makkah accelerated. It accelerated. The Nabi of Allah could sense and feel that this persecution will reach a new height, a new level. And the grounds of Makkah at this certain time is not conducive to the message of Islam. So the Prophet of Allah in his mind thought that I will travel to the second biggest town of Hijaz, and that is Taif. And I will give da'wah to the people of Taif. There's a possibility that people may accept. This journey of Taif took place on the 27th of Shawwal, 10 years into Nabuwa. And we all know the treatment that the Prophet of Allah faced in Taif. He was pelted with stones. His entire body was covered in blood. And his shoes were covered in blood as well. He could not walk properly because of the pain that he was experiencing. But the lesson that we take from the story of Taif, and this is one of the many lessons, is that when the Nabi of Allah made a very moving, a very touching, a very mighty dua to Allah, I will just highlight the opening of this dua, in which the Nabi of Allah says, Allahumma ilayka ashku dhu'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas ya arhamar rahimin ila akhiri. It is a very lengthy dua. The Nabi of Allah, he starts by saying, Ya Allah, I complain to you, ashku, mashkayat karta, dhu'fa quwwati, of being very weak and feeble in my strength. Being very feeble and weak in my strength. ضعف قوتي وقلة حيلتي. And I complain to you, Ya Allah, lack of resources. وهواني على الناس. And I complain to you, Ya Allah, that I am unimportant in the eyes of these people. They don't understand who I am. Ya أرحم الراحمين. That Ya Allah, these are the people that I came to invite, and this is how they treated me. They say that the angelic world was moved. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam descended. And when he descended, he ushered an angel that was deputed over the mountains. And he came in the presence of the Nabi of Allah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I am the one that is appointed over these mountains, that is overlooking this town. If you order, I will allow the mountains to collide, and all the inhabitants in between will be crushed to pieces. Just a order from you. What did the Nabi of Allah say? The Nabi of Allah did not curse them. He did not avenge what he experienced. But the Nabi of Allah said that I opt for something different. There is a high possibility that from the offspring, the progeny of these people, there will be a person that will believe in my message. I will opt for that. He did not curse them. Lam ubath la'ana. The Prophet of Allah says, I have not been sent to curse. The Prophet of Allah himself says, ad-deenun nasiha. Deen is a religion that encourages us, teaches us to be a well-wisher for our other. I cannot curse these people. And as we all know, when we read history, that from Taif, a legend was born, a hero was born, that is responsible for the opening of a door of Hidayah, through which many, many thousands of people accepted Islam. And I'm alluding to that great hero, that great personality, that legacy, Muhammad bin Qasim, rahimahullah. So, the Prophet of Allah, he went to Taif in the month of Shawwal, 3 years before Hijrah. Another very amazing incident took place in the month of Shawwal, and I believe that this is the hallmark of Shawwal, and that is the Battle of Uhud. The Battle of Badr took place in the month of Ramadan, to be exact, the 17th of Ramadan. The Battle of Uhud took place in the month of Shawwal. It was the 11th, according to many historians, and it was 3 years after Hijrah. Now, there are many, many stories pertaining to the Battle of Uhud, but I will just like to allude to one. To give us an understanding of the legacy, the profound legacy that Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has left for each one of us. The Nabi of Allah is addressing his troops, the noble Sahaba of 700. 300 munafiqoon have deserted the Prophet of Allah. The Nabi of Allah, he is standing, observing how the battle is unfolding, and everything is going according to plan. But as we all know that through the misunderstanding or the mistake of a few, everyone experienced the bitter flavor of loss. We have heard that many a times, but what I'm going to allude to is something different. The historians say that the Nabi of Allah was standing like this, and there was a ditch behind him, a ditch. And a few wretched people, they pelted the Prophet of Allah. So when the Prophet of Allah was pelted, he lost his tooth Mubarak, and he fell backwards. And when he fell backwards, the back of, or the nape, the back of his skull, it hit the edge of the ditch. So the Prophet of Allah fell unconscious. So he's in the ditch. He's bleeding. He's feeling a lot of pain. And because of that, he has lost consciousness. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in assume that the Nabi of Allah has departed this dunya. After a short while, the Nabi of Allah recovers. These are people that are pelting the Nabi of Allah. Jaan ke dushman. So when the Nabi of Allah, he recovers, the Sahaba, a few of them suggest to the Prophet of Allah that there's no better time to curse than now. Curse these people that were pelting you so they can be destroyed once and for all. So the Nabi of Allah in that state, and keep in mind he has lost his uncle. 70 Sahaba are martyred. The great teacher, Mus'ab bin Umair, has been martyred. He has attained the rank of martyrdom. The first teacher in Madinatul Munawwara, one of the two uncles of the Nabi of Allah who accepted Islam, is martyred. Not only martyred, mutilated. So what does the Prophet of Allah say? According to any scale, any measure, any balance, it was the right time to curse such people. But the Nabi of Allah says no. He looks towards the sky and he says, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Ya Allah, forgive my people. Qawmi, forgive my people. It is so amazing. Even Allah, Allah Almighty and the Prophet of Allah, has himself said, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Adopt the akhlaq of Allah. If Allah is merciful, be merciful. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. What does Allah say in the glorious Quran? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. O Prophet of Allah, declare, inform people, Ya Ibadi, that Allah is saying, O my servants. Which servants? Asrafu, who have transgressed ala anfusim, against themselves. Even if a father is upset with the child, then the child is spoken to in a manner where he is not directly addressed. So if the father is upset with the child, he will address the mother. What will the father say? You tell him. You tell him. I don't want to speak to him. You tell him. Leave the house. Immediately the father breaks ties. He doesn't say to the child, oh my son. He does not even use the honorable title son. He will go through the mother, as if the child is a stranger. Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا. Oh my servants, which servants? Salihin, qanitin? No. Asrafu ala anfusim. Those that have transgressed. Who are these people? Are they ummate ijabi? These people that are pelting the Prophet of Allah in the battle of Uhud, are they ummate ijabi? Are these those people that are a part of that ummah that have accepted? No, they're ummate salbi. But the Prophet of Allah says, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi. Ya Allah, forgive my qawm. Ye meri qawm. This is our qawm. Everyone in this world is our qawm. Qawmi. Huh? If that member of the qawm dies without iman on the day of judgment, وَامْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. Then this will be separated. Then people will be separated. Criminals will not stand with the noble. Noble will not stand with the criminal. People will be separated. But in this world, قَوْمِ it is my قَوْم. Of course, we divide the قَوْم into two, أُمَّةِ إِجَابِ أُمَّةِ سَلْبِ. But the Prophet of Allah says, do not punish them, Ya Allah. Forgive them because they do not know. If they knew who I was, if we know who Allah is, we will not disobey Him. If we knew who Allah was, we will not disobey Him. All levels of disobedience is in proportion to not knowing Allah. That's why Allah Almighty says through the Prophet of Allah, أَجِلُّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Revere Allah, Allah will forgive you. Allah ko pehchan liya, sab kuch mil gaya. So if a person does not know Allah, in proportion to that, he will disobey Allah. So the Nabi of Allah says, Allahumma ghfir li qawmi, Ya Allah, forgive my qawm, my people, fa innahum la ya'lamun, they do not know. Do not curse. Do not judge. Treat humans as humans. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. Allah has granted honor, dignity to Bani Adam, to every insan. And as long as insan is alive, and he is breathing, and he is declared alive, he can become the wali of Allah. How many alcoholic people, how many zanis, how many wretched people, disobedient people, became walis, awliya. To become a wali, the friend of Allah, it doesn't take much. It is a mere tawbah. Shedding a few tears in the court of Allah, propelled with nidama and regret. Nidama and regret propels. Pushes these tears out of the eyes. And this person that was the most wretched yesterday becomes the most beloved in the eyes of Allah. And on the other hand, one person who believes that he is close to Allah, but he believes that every human being around him is insignificant, Allah takes that tawfiq, that hidayah away from him. And he becomes like Bal'am Ba'ura. The stories of the Quran are a lesson for us. Balam ba'ura. What a abid, mustajabu da'wat. In Surah Araf, Allah makes mention of Balam ba'ura. The story of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Qawmi Amalqa said to this person, make bad dua. Curse Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Balam ba'ura was a abid. He was favored by Allah. His duas were accepted. But what did he do in his life that attracted the ghadab of Allah? And when this ghadab of Allah descended, all his past ibadat became insignificant. He died without hidayah. So every person in this ummah has the capacity to become a wali of Allah, to become a friend of Allah. He may be John, he may be Martin right now, but he may die as Muhammad and Abu Bakr. And at the same time, there may be a person that is Abu Bakr and Umar right now, but there's a possibility because of his wrong behavior, wrong mindset, he may die as John and Martin. We have to be very, very mindful, very, very careful of this beautiful bounty that we hold on to. So, Ghazwa Uhud teaches us many lessons. But one of the lessons is, fill this heart with compassion. Allahumma ghfir li qawmi fa innahum la ya'lamun. Remember the statement of the paragon of akhlaq, the epitome of akhlaq, the role model of humanity. Very, very important. This is a topic that we will discuss in detail when inshallah we start the series of akhlaq in the near future. I would like to conclude, and then inshallah we'll make mention of a few more next week. The death of Abu Qahafa. Allahu Akbar. Now, 14 years after Hijrah, approximately 4 years after the demise of Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person by the name of Abu Qahafa, he passed away in the month of Shawwal. He's the father of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And I would like to make mention of two things. It is the conquest of Makkah. Abu Qahafa has become blind of old age. The Nabi of Allah takes Abu Qahafa in the presence, the Mubarak Majlis of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. The tawadu of our Prophet. The humbleness of our Prophet. Ajeeb. Sayyidul Qainat. Sayyidul Mursaleen. Khatimul Anbiya. Imamul Anbiya. The tawadu. What does the Prophet of Allah say to Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq? He said, why did you bring the father? I would have went to him. Where is this tawazu in the ummah of Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What does a person think he is? We are very insignificant, my dear brothers. I'm speaking to myself first. And to all my noble brothers. We are a family. Not being judgmental, not criticizing anyone. But we are nothing. In a split moment, our entire life can be toppled over. How many times we see that one person who is able, he is healthy, and in a split moment, everything has been taken away. He's been diagnosed with cancer. Our noble brother, many, many years ago, Iqbal Muttaqi. I don't know if you know him, Iqbal Muttaqi. Very dear to my heart. He used to be a muqtadi here. We were playing tennis. Myself, Iqbal Muttaqi, Mahbub Ilahi, who's in Melbourne now. And I remember that time, we were in the Seville grounds and we were playing tennis. And it was the last hit out that we were doing for that season. And he was a healthy person. He was only about 40 years old. And we said, that right, next year we will play and we will hire the courts because they're free courses. So we said, we hire courts next year. That next year never came for Iqbal Muttaqi. In 4 months he passed away. Allah yarham. He had cancer. He passed away. The tawadu of the Nabi of Allah. Man tawadu alillah rafa. Allah will elevate. The Prophet of Allah said, why did you bring Abu Qahafa? I would have went to Abu Qahafa. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, the etiquettes, the adab. He says, Ya Rasulullah, it is befitting that he come to you. So the Nabi of Allah displays his tawadu. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq displays his adab. Mutual respect, mutual understanding. Everyone is displaying the akhlaq that is demanded at the time. Everyone is displaying the akhlaq that is demanded at the time. As Abu Bakr Siddiq says, it's befitting that Abu Qahafa come to you. So the Nabi of Allah gives da'wah to Abu Qahafa. He's blind, he's old, he accepts Islam. I will conclude on what Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq says. I don't know if I can control my emotions when I relate this sentiment of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And I believe it will bring tears in your eyes. But before we go to that sentiment, it's very important to understand the background. The Prophet of Allah had a deep feeling for Hazrat Abu Talib. Yet this burning desire that my uncle accept Islam. And when we read about Islam, many a times we discuss and we say, we wish that he accepted Islam. How many times we say that? We wish that Abu Talib died as a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. The contribution that he did for Islam is much more than what we can do as being Muslims. And then the father of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the uncle of the Nabi of Allah. But he did not. Keeping that in mind, when Abu Kahaf accepted Islam, Allah, when he accepted Islam, when a father accepts Islam, I met a few reverts many years ago, and they cried in front of him. And I had no reply. And they said, what will happen to my father and mother that passed away? And it's easy for us because our mothers and fathers are Muslims. And they died in the state of Islam. And inshallah, they will go to Jannah. But this person who came into the fold of Islam, we were too late to get to them. The message did not knock on their door. Their parents passed away. And these beautiful souls, they say to us, these beautiful reverts, they say that, what will happen to my mother and father? What can we say? The best we can say is that Allah will treat them according to what they did. And Allah is merciful. That's the best we can say. What else can we say? So Abu Kahaf accepts Islam. So think about the joy of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. That my father has been safeguarded from the fire of Jahannam. But you know what Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said at that time? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq says, Ya Rasulullah, my father has accepted Islam right now. I would have been happier if your uncle accepted Islam over my father. I would have been more happier if Abu Talib accepted Islam over my own father's Islam, because your uncle, if he accepted Islam, the joy that you would have experienced is much greater than the joy that you experience on the acceptance of my father. What love. What profound love. What profound love. That's why when the Nabi of Allah made mention of certain things that he liked, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said, what do you like of this dunya? And he says, حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا ثَلَاثٌ. I like three things from this dunya. And what was the first one? أَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. The first thing I like from this dunya is to place my eyes on the Mubarak face of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just to look at the Prophet of Allah, this is an absolute pleasure for me. وَإِنْفَاقُ مَالِي عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And the second is to spend my mal on the Nabi of Allah. And that's why, you know, when a person gives, the recipient is below. The recipient is below. The giver is on the top. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq thought this to be against the adab. How can I be on the top and the Prophet be on the bottom? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, consider my wealth to be your wealth. My wealth is your wealth. So when I am giving to you, it is not like I am giving to you. You're taken from your own wealth. So there is a separation between the giving of a person and the giving of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, because my mal is your mal. And the third is, my daughter be in the wedlock of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these are certain major events that took place in the month of Shawwal. We will speak about a few more next week. There's a hadith in Muslim. من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستة من شوال كان كصيام الدهر. A person who fasts in the month of Ramadan and then follows it with six fasts in the month of Shawwal, كان كصيام الدهر. It is like he has fasted for all his life. And the فقهاء have said, لا يلزم أن تكون هذه الأيام متتابعة. The فقهاء have stipulated that it is not zaruri, it is not compulsory that these six fasts be consecutive. لا يلزم أن تكون هذه الأيام متتابعة. It is not zaruri, it is not lazim that these six fasts of Shawwal be consecutive. You can choose. So one of the best ways to get multiple reward is that if we can fast Monday and Thursday. So you'll get four Mondays and Thursdays. So if we fast on Monday and Thursday, we are fulfilling one sunnah that the Nabi of Allah used to fast on Monday and Thursday. And then the second is that we get the reward of fasting in Shawwal. And then there's another reward that we can get if we can choose the 13th, 14th and the 15th of the month. So most probably that will be one complete week that will be inclusive to Monday and Thursday, and then Ayyam Bid, the bright days, 13, 14 and 15, and then the reward of 6 fast. Allah Rabbul Izzat grant us the tawfiq, the ability. Allah Rabbul Izzat accept each one of us. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.